In the days leading up to last year's war in Libya, Britain, France and other NATO countries were preparing a bombing campaign. But the White House and the Department of Defense were preparing another type of attack. Should they deploy their cyber arsenal against the Libyan air defense system? Their answer was no, but the discussion forms much of the new behind-the-scenes style of war.
The question what a cyber weapon is throws you back to a larger question, and that is, what is a weapon? A weapon, in short, is an instrument of harm. So a cyber weapon is also an instrument of harm. In other words, it has to ultimately be able to cause harm to a system or to a living being.
That was Thomas Ridd, a reader in war studies at King's College London. Cyber weapons are the new instruments of war and capable of causing highly destructive collateral damage. At the start of this year, the US Department of Defense announced plans to equip American forces with arms for all types of scenarios, including a possible battle in the cyberspace. But with conventional weapons, there are treaties in place to govern their use. So how do we govern the use of weapons in the cybersphere?
I'm Peter McBurney. I am head of the Planning, Agents and Intelligence Systems Group at the Department of Informatics, King's College London. There are moves afoot to try and come up with a treaty, an international treaty for cyber weapons. I think the Russian government was the one that first proposed this. I'm not sure that's very easy to do, partly because of the nature of the internet. It's essentially anonymous. Often we don't know the source, where programs come from. We don't know who originated them. It's quite easy to make it seem that something originated from a particular place when, in fact, it originated somewhere else. So if you can't say who's responsible, then it's very hard to say that we have a treaty.
Cyber weaponry can be used as a threat to achieve the objective without inflicting any physical harm. An example is a denial-of-service attack, such as the one used against Estonia in 2007. Their government wanted to move a Russian Second World War memorial from the capital to the outskirts, and Professor McBurney explains the reaction to their plans.
That was a series of attacks by many people in different countries on various organisations in Estonia. Most of the attacks were what we call distributed denial of service attacks. When you or I access a web page, we're actually asking for some file to be sent to us. If that server gets many requests at the same time, then they're not always able to cope with those requests. And that's what those attacks were on various government sites. Many of them seem to come from within Russia. It's very hard to determine exactly where they originated because an attacker can make it seem like it comes from somewhere else. So this is the problem of attribution. It's very hard to say who is the source or who is the cause.
Other examples of cyber warfare include the Stuxnet worm that sabotaged Iran's nuclear program and Israel's cyber attack in 2007, which blinded the Syrian air defense system so the Israelis could bomb a military target without being detected. But a cyber attack is limited to hitting a few targets. Would a cyber or physical attack be more effective?
I am Dr. Tobias Feakin, Director of National Security and Resilience at the Royal United Services Institute. I think there's no doubting that cyber weapons are the great leveller, if you like. It enables someone who perhaps wouldn't have access to explosives, to conventional weaponry, to actually be able to have quite a deep-seated impact. For example, you've seen many times that government systems, people try to probe those and find out secrets. So it shows how individuals in their rooms at home can actually engender a lot of power. Now, if you're looking for kind of conventional impacts of weapons, of course, you know, high explosives are going to have a huge impact. I don't think we're at quite the level yet with the cyber domain that you could get to the entire shutdown of a country. But I think that's what people are worried about.
Cyber weapons are likely to form part of a new military strategy, but both authors, Dr. Ridd and Professor McBurney, argue that the greatest benefit of cyber weapons is to use them alongside conventional weaponry. But cyber weaponry requires more resources and time to prepare. It's an attack that the authors argue is likely to be carried out by a state rather than terrorists.